This is Colourful Radio.
Now, if you don't already know, well, it's the one and only Misha Paris. Where do I start?
I know.
Some people were very interested to hear, you know, what the progress has been since the passing of your brother.
Yeah, of course, of course.
So we might touch on that if that's okay.
Yes, absolutely.
And of course, the clothing.
Yeah, it's a whole thing, isn't it? I mean, like, you know, the thing is with my career, it's just gone in places that I would never have expected it to. Like, I have people come up to me and they say, you must have such a great agent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even have an agent. You know, I just, the things that's happened to me have come through friends.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I was at Radio 2 for 5 years doing that Soul Solution show, and I'm not as good as you, but I tried my best, darling.
Yeah.
And I mean, that came because I was supposed to just be a guest. And what happened was I did a guest show for them, and then I ended up staying for 5 years. And then after that, it was Lisa, my mate, Lisa Butcher, who called me up and says, I've put you forward for this show. And I said, what show? Yeah. And she said, What Not To. And I said, what's that? Because I don't watch telly. I'm rubbish with telly, you know? And then she said, you know, Trini and Susanna. And I know who they are because I read about them in the papers.
Of course.
But I just didn't know what the show was.
Yeah.
So, you know, then I went for the casting, and they went nuts and said, we want to, you know, we'd like to have the two of you do it together. So that's how that came about. And then the funny thing was, I think the reason why the show was such a success was because I hadn't seen their shows, so I just went in there and did it my way. You know, I'm like,
no, absolutely. I mean, you know, the only way I could describe some of your approaches would be, he got jacked, you jacked him up. You know, that was big sister style, the way that you, especially when you, I think I saw one where you had a brother on the show.
Yeah, that was amazing. He was great. And, you know, it was so weird, that was, because I was just like, I don't know, you know, black guys to be like that, you know, but he's in the country, you see, he's a country boy. Because I was, all my black guys and all my black mates and stuff, you know, they just know what to, you know, on a street level, black guys know how to dress, do you know?
Yeah,
it was very odd to find this one black guy in the whole of the UK who just hadn't got a clue.
A real clue?
Very different.
They must have casted for that, no?
I tell you, they did. They casted a lot of people, but I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
I pushed for him to be on it because I thought that he had such an interesting story, because you're always used to seeing black guys looking cool. And here was this guy who was incredibly intelligent, but, you know, had no clue about what to wear.
I thought you did. I mean, you're thoroughly entertaining.
So you know, you.
Thank you, baby.
You'd be the same if you was on that show. And
yeah,
you know
you can't hold it down, can you? No time for niceties. We've got half an hour. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but so the thing about it is, what it is, I think, is when you're a girl's girl.
Yeah.
And I'm really a girl. You know, DJ, you know, you and I go back a long time. But it's like, I'm a real girl's girl. And there's no way. All my girls around me, they have to look good.
Yes.
Do you know?
Yes,
and they have to tell me when I don't look good, too. Because I am telling them. So they've got to tell me. Because that's love. You know, when you love someone, you're going to make sure they look good, you know, because you love them, you know. And when you don't give a monkeys about them, you're like, yeah, go out there, go on, go out, you look fine. And you know they don't look good.
Fine. That's not good. And and what's more, if you're spending the day with them, you've got to look at them.
Yes.
So it's better that they look good for your
eyes. Good on the eye.
Yeah.
Easy on the eye. No shades on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I hear you, darling. I hear you.
Yeah.
Right. So you should know by now that we've got Misha Paris in the studio, and doesn't she sound fantastic? And I've got to tell you that we've got a copy of her album here. Are we giving these away?
Yeah, these are all complimentary to anyone who wants to hear it. It's, I mean, you know, it's, the thing is, you know, it's been 2.5 years making this record. It took me a long time. I mean, the record industry wouldn't touch me for, like, you know, nearly 10 years basically. And then I got all the love from TV and radio, so I kind of went where the love was.
You go where the love is,
you
that's
know?
Right.
And then I got approached by some bankers who just said, you know, we'd like to put up the money for you to make a record. They were fans, and then I was just like, yay! And I was like, yippee, this is great. And because inside, even though I was doing all the shows and everything else, my heart was still, oh man, I just want to make some music, you know, because, you know, I'm a singer, but I'm a musician, you see. So I write and I get involved with it. It's what I do. So it was like a death, that part of me, you know. So going back in the studio was just fantastic. But I was nervous, though.
Wow.
Well, I was nervous because I hadn't done it for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, I was like,
don't hear it.
Do I know what I'm doing? You know? But it's like riding a bike, isn't it? Yeah, you just never forget.
Well, that's what I feel in this. I feel as though, because the first thing I noticed on this album is the way your vocals were recorded.
Yeah.
Right? So, and how it really, especially on track number 2, I can really feel your influences on that. And that grabs me straight away, track number 2. I love that.
Oh my gosh.
But before we kind of get too deep, I want to play what the single is at the moment. I also want to remind people that you're in the studio. Misha Paris is speaking to me right now. and we want your texts. 80818, that's 80818. Pose any question you like. She's here. She's just fabulous as you see her on TV. She's just got, and the thing that always gets me, you've got the most amazing smile.
Oh,
you have. You could do a Colgate advert.
Oh,
I take it you don't smoke.
No.
Oh, you said that now.
I know, bless you.
You
I used to smoke, yeah, but I had to just quit. You know how it goes already. It's a nightmare, isn't it? I still think about him. I like stand close to people who smoke and go, that smells good.
Yeah. What are you smoking? Fentanyl.
Yeah.
Fantastic. One. And yeah. Gordon's agreeing. You look amazing on the cover.
Yeah, thank God for makeup.
You really do. No. You look amazing. No, but I won't have any of it. I won't have any of
bless
it.
You, bless
skin
you.
Looks fantastic.
Thank you.
Those eyes.
Oh.
Those eyes. The camera just loves
you. Well,
you
know, girl. You and I kind of look alike. You know that. You look like you could be my family. You know that.
It's true.
You know that.
Yeah. You know your sister there.
Paula.
Yeah. Every time we see each other, we go, you know, something I carry feelings for you.
Yeah, totally.
Still, I carry feelings.
Yeah, but you so look like you could be part of my family because all the family, you know,
got those big eyes.
Yeah. My family have all got the big eyes and the straight nose thing going on. You know,
I hear that. So you know, maybe I can sing somewhere, Gordon. Maybe I've got the eyes, part of Misha's family.
That's right,
maybe really I can sing.
No, we got to check the DNA, baby.
Where was my dad at da-da-da-da-da time?
Yeah, let's not go there. Yeah, that's
all right.
Yeah, leave that one there.
All right, so come on, guys. You know what you've got to do. But first of all, Baby Come Back Now.
Yeah.
That's a single.
Yes.
All right, tell me about that particular single.
That song was written for me. Well, let me just give you the journey. Two and a half years ago, I got approached to make this record. I call up, I get a call from Brian Rawlings, who's one of the biggest producers in this country, does Lamar, Craig David, James Morrison, Tina Turner, and everyone else. And he's also a really dear friend. And, he told me that James Morrison's written a song for me. And I was just like, my goodness, not the James Morrison. You know, he's awesome. I think he's a great talent. And I heard the song and I just completely just lost the plot with it. Just thought it was great. But before all that, the first year of the album was very hard.
Yeah.
All the songs I was writing, they just weren't good. It was just too sad. They were too dark.
Oh,
and I, you know, because I'd come out of a lot of stuff. My brother died and my relationship of 7 years was over and it was all going off. And the only good thing was I gave birth to this beautiful child. That was the beautiful thing that happened. But it was a very turbulent time and I wasn't making music. It was horrible. The only good thing was the music, was the TV and the radio making me, you know, help other people, was helping me deal with all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I went in the studio and the first year, the songs were just a bit too sad.
Yeah.
So I just threw all that out. And then the second year, that's when everything started to come. I went in the studio and recorded I Remember. Mm-hmm. I Remember is a song that was a cover that was done by Keisha Cole.
Keisha Cole.
And Brian gave me that song. I said, listen to this song, Mish. And the minute I heard that song, I said, I can rinse this out. I can do this. This is my vibe. And that's when the album changed. All the songs after that became really fantastic. Then it was You're the Only One because Eric Benet called up. He got onto MySpace and said to me, I'm a real fan. I love your music. And I was just like, you lovely man. I thought, weren't you married to my girl? And Anyway, let's not even go there and talk about what you did. But regardless, what a great vocalist and writer he is. And I was so touched by that. And then, took his song, You're the Only One. And it's funny, when I went in the studio to sing that, it was the first take that we chose. One take. It was just, the chords are so... You know what it's like. The minute you hear a chord as a singer, there's certain chords that you hear as a singer that you just immediately, your voice just does what it does. You don't even have to say go left or right. The voice is just gone. It was one of them.
Yeah.
It was just made for me, you know?
For real. Because that's what I feel.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I feel with the track number two, and definitely I Remember.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I mean, soul, you know what I mean? Because the thing is, you know, I keep going on about this. Well, even when I was on the radio, I was always, you know, whinging about it. I was like, you know, it's where is the love gone in soul music?
Yeah.
You know, and I love my hip hop. Don't even go there because I love my hip hop. But
too.
I felt like music was starting to become a bit hard and the romance was gone out of music.
Mm.
So I was very much intent with this album to try to make sure that there was some real love.
Yeah.
That feeling that you used to get. You know, when you listen to Luther Vandross and you go, oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, I wanted to get a bit of that.
And that's what I'm picking up because, like, I mean, on the the single Baby Come Back Now,
yeah,
that is very, very poppy and it's got all the dynamics on it.
Yeah.
By the time I got to track two, it felt like you were kissing the microphone.
Yeah, I was in love with it. We were in bed together. It was going off.
That's how close your vocals sound to my ears.
Yeah.
And I could really hear the richness.
Yeah.
You know, no fancy, nothing. Just, so you said this.
That's why Brian's such a great producer. He's brilliant.
It sounds like this is your album.
Absolutely. But if you spend, you know how it is, babe. You know, if you spend 2.5 years working on something, it's going to be great, isn't it? Yeah, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
Back in the day, we never had those kind of luxuries to do that. That's why my first album was my best album, really, because I was allowed to take the time to make that record. Right. Then after that, you get on that treadmill where in the industry where you have to just churn them out. And that's when you kind of lose the quality. You know, you have to have something to live about, to sing about, you know?
I hear that. Well, listen, we're going to kind of chat, play some of your music because I'm desperate for the audience to hear your new album.
You know how hard it is when I'm with you. I can't just like, you know, it's not even right.
I'm telling you. But anyway, this is Baby Come Back Now. Of course, we've got Misha Paris in the studio. I can already see the email box filling up. Thank you very much for that. Don't forget, you can text us 80818. That's 80818. Start your message with colourful space and then your message.
This is Colourful Radio.
That's just like a modern day Rare Groove.
Proper. Beautiful. I'll always do that though, trust me. I mean, I'm a, you know, musically, I'm very, it's the same in my career, I'm all over the place. I love lots of things.
Yeah.
And I like to experience myself in lots of different things.
Yeah.
So I might drop a Rare Groove tune and I might drop a pop tune. I might drop a hip hop tune.
Yeah.
I'll always do lots of things. That's just, I'm quite ubiquitous like that. Yeah, I can't help it. It's just the way that I am.
But you're feeling it. You know, it's in your DNA.
Yeah, I'm passionate about everything I do. Trust me.
Whole lot of soul. You know, I mean, a lot of our listeners, they love their Rare Groove. They love very, very diverse listenership we've got here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was going through a couple of your albums and I was thinking, I didn't have the pleasure of actually raving with you back in the day.
Close, though.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'd pass each other and go, oh, babe. And we were leaving or coming or whatever. Yeah, but it was,
But I'm talking about, like, school days. So I was thinking to myself, I wonder how far back in terms of music.
Yeah.
Your roots are?
Oh, it's heavy. I mean, the thing is, back in the day, we used to go to Touch of Class.
Ah.
Touch of Class Mystery. That's where I used to rave. And, you know, the Shebeens and all that stuff. And my father, who is an amazing singer, that's where I get my voice from, is Dad.
Yeah.
Dad's one of those multi-talented people. Writer, painter, plays the flute, sings like Marvin Gaye, one of them. And my, you know, so I was brought up with my grandparents listening to purely gospel music. That's why my voice is very gospel.
Okay.
And I grew up in church. Like, I was going to church like 6 days a week for 16 years of my life.
Wow.
And so when my dad would come and pick us up at the weekend with my mum, you know, it was like, yes, freedom. So my dad would come over and he would drive over and he would, he'd have the Isley Brothers, Miles Davis, Ayerto, Flora Purim, and, you know, just all the good stuff, you know, Curtis Mayfield. And I'd go in the car and I'd hear that stuff and I'd go, I really want to make music like that. I used to get like that. So, you know, but then I'd go back to grandma and grandpa and it was like, don't play that devil music in here. So it was one of those things. So that's why I have such a broad taste in music, because my father and my grandparents, as you can see, diametrically opposed sort of thing. But my dad has got a very big palette, you know, like, you know, he'll listen to classical as well as Curtis Mayfield, and he's all like that, my dad. He listens to loads of stuff.
Well, look, I've definitely got Sixth Street here, so hold tight.
Gosh.
I've got Sixth Street here.
I've got
a text from someone here. It says, it is wonderful to hear Misha. What an amazing talent. Her version of Sixth Street is out of this world.
Yes.
I would love a copy of her new CD. Big up, Misha. Sam in New Cross.
Hi, baby. Hey, my old manor. I used to hang out down there. I used to live in Broccoli, you know, when I was a kid. That's where I grew up. So New Cross was my manor. They used to have a wicked chip shop down there. So.
Well, I brought a tune in. Just a random one. I just thought I'd play it to you to see if that's the reaction I wanted.
Hello, baby. Now you're talking to me. Really good. Good.
So, I mean, you did a bit. You touched on a bit of reggae, or you turned a lover's rock tune into a soul tune, really, didn't you?
Well, you have to remember, you know, I mean, I just turned 40 like a couple of weeks ago. When I was growing up, it was all about lover's rock. And the two people that I really loved was, you know, everyone was, don't get me wrong, I love my Bob Marley, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I was always a Dennis Brown girl.
Yeah.
I'm all about Dennis Brown. Dennis Brown rocked my century when I was a kid. I worship him.
I understand. You know, I understand.
The vocal style the guy has. He sings like a soul singer.
Yeah.
Reggae.
Yes.
You know, he's just got that thing going on there. So I, you know, that was my thing. I liked Lover's Rock because it wasn't too reggae. It was soul reggae.
Yeah.
See?
Okay.
So I'm kind of one of these people. I like reggae, but I only like when it's soulful reggae.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
I hear you.
Dennis Brown was my hero. There's so many other Lovers Rock people that we know. Gold. Oh, how we many people? Carol Thompson, my girl.
Louisa Mars.
Good mate of mine, my girl. We love her.
Mm.
And Silly Games, Janet.
Janet Kay. Yeah.
I grew up with all that.
Yeah.
That was my thing, yeah.
All right, well, look, let's play this track here for Sam in New Cross. Mm-hmm.
Big up South London, man. Big up. Oh, my gosh.
Girl, do you remember
this
doing
for
it?
Ages. Wow.
We love it so much.
It's a bad tune, man. It's wicked. I thought I was going to get a roasting when I did this version.
Because
I was like, yeah, man, you can't touch it like the reason like. So I was going to get that. But a lot of people say they liked it, so it's good.
What inspired you to switch it from the Lover's Rock to
well,
soul?
I just... Because it sounds soulful. It sounds soulful.
Okay.
And I just thought that, you know, I need to... When I do a song by somebody else, I always try to make it my own.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's really important when you do that, you know. But I do want to do reggae at some point, trust me.
Yes, well, that's exactly why I played that, just to find out if you would.
Oh, yes.
That's great.
Most definitely.
Let's play this, because I'm sure there's so many fans out there that don't know you did this. And they're going, what right now? So I'm going to give them a little bit of it without us talking over it. And if you want a copy, can they still get this?
Man, you can only get it on the Japanese copy of Black Angel.
Ah, so...
On the net. You have to go on the net.
All right, there you go, if you want a copy of this. Go get your Japanese copy if you want to hear the rest of it. Or indeed, keep listening to the show, because I will be playing it in its entirety before the show's over, because you know we've got to do it like that. Thank you for your emails. They're coming in thick and fast. We like that. I've got one here from Sashkan who says, please ask Misha which song most reminds her of her times with the spirit of Watts Gospel Choir. And when she praises God in song, which song makes the hairs on the back of her neck stand up when she hears someone else singing it? Great to hear you have a new album, Misha. That's from Sashkan. Right, which question do you want to answer?
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Well, the first one, the Spirit of Watts, the song that reminds me of Spirit of Watts is There's a War Going On, because that was a gospel song that I used to sing with them, and that was by the Hawkins. So that reminds me of the Spirit of Watts. There's a war going on, and if you want to win, you better make sure that you have Jesus deep down within. And that's, if she remembers that, if she knows the Spirit of Watts, she must have heard me sing that back in the day.
Okay.
And I can't remember what the other question was.
The other one was which song makes your hair stand up on the back of your neck when you hear someone else sing?
Oh, Distant Lover by Marvin Gaye, most definitely. When the live version, it's over. I'm on the floor. Oh, just can't even go. It's too hot in here now. I can't cope.
It is. All right, look. Let's go to this track that I've been dying to play.
Yeah,
Misha's new album. All right, this is the album that we're going to give two lucky winners a copy of. Because I want to say, I'm not sure whether this is for all my show or other people's show or whatever, because you've got five copies here.
You know what, honey?
I don't know.
You have to talk to the people out there and ask them.
Are they all for my show?
Lucky girl.
God, look at that.
You better work it.
Oh, listen,
I mean, you know, I was willing to give it to you. You know that.
Yeah.
Let me just dig myself out of the hole now.
Yeah. No, but I know how it is. So I've got five copies. All right. And you've got to be quick, because I'm going to give one away right after this track. And the question's got to be, name three titles of Misha Paris's catalogue. I don't know. Three titles.
Well, why don't you say, it's tough, isn't it, to pull people. It's like, the albums are like so old. It's like, I'd say... A duet. What was the first duet who was the person I did the duet with on the first album?
All right, it's very good that you did that, because I've got that here as well. So they've only got For the length of the next record to get their emails in if That's they cool. want a copy of this.
So hurry up!
All right, so if you want to text us, 80818, that's 80818. Who did Misha do her first duet with?
Yeah.
Yeah, who was that? And for now, tell me about this second. Oh, you've already told me, haven't you? You wrote it with, or Eric Benet wrote it.
Absolutely. And he had a massive hit with it in America. And he, you know, MySpaced me and told me he was a fan. And I just thought I'd just pay the man homage and do that tune, because that tune is just killer.
Love it. Here it is.
This is Colourful Radio.
If you want to hear that in its entirety, you're going to have to wait till Saturday when I play it. Or maybe one of the other jocks will be kind enough to play that particular track. Ah! I got butterflies, girl. I got butterflies. That's beautiful. Right, because we're winging our way through this this interview here because Misha's got to leave us at 7:30. So, you know.
Sorry, baby.
That's all right, darling. You know, the door's always open. You're going to come back
well,
again.
You know, and, I'm coming back to see you, girl. You know that.
I've got an email here from Joy. Joy says, hiya, DJ Elaine. I used to rave with Misha at Cotton Club.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day.
Yeah,
long.
You know.
Who's that?
Joy. She says, Misha sang at my cousin's funeral. He passed away in the Deptford fire.
That's right.
Give her my love and blessings.
Big wicked, love to you, darling.
Wicked single, she says. Lots of love.
Love.
And I tell you what, you got some fans out there. Well, Sam was very, very quick off the mark. He says the answer is Will Downing.
Hey, work it.
This is Colourful Radio.
It sure is. Now, before the break, I said I'd give a lucky winner, somebody who could give me the names of two of Misha Paris's heroes that she's worked with, and I needed it in before the break was through or finished or done. One of them. And Sashkan, I'm proud to say that you are the winner. She says Dionne Warwick and Prince.
Hey, you better work it, girlfriend.
Yeah,
she's on it.
That's right. So we've got another 10 minutes. How many more have I got to give away in those 10 minutes? I've got three.
You've
to give
got
away
three left, darling.
I've got three to give away. Do you want to set a question?
Who was my co-presenter on What Not to Wear?
Ah, there you go now. And we want that in with by the time we've chatted a little bit of the next tune.
Yeah, all you right. can go on the internet and check.
That's
give
right.
them a squeeze. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. That's right. That's
Love
right.
it.
So we want that answer in before, before the end of the next track. All right. So we'll have a little chat about this track. Should Have Known Better.
Wow, that's
does
a blast.
Not leave my record box. Believe.
Oh, that's a tune. I mean, I you know, it's really funny because I don't know if I could have written that song had I not had the success at that time, because I was really I was at the peak of the success at that point when I wrote that. It was 89. Temptation was all over the radio. It was all going off with the album and stuff. And I went in the studio because you used to have to record TV shows before you actually did them for the Union. Yeah. And I was doing Wogan and I had to, you know, pretend I was recording it before I did it, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I went in the studio, instead of just sitting around, I just thought, let me write this tune. So I started humming this bass line to my bass player. And I said, that's how I write. That's how I write songs. I hum the bass line first. I get him to play the part, put it down. And then I record the piano on top afterwards. And then I do the vocals last.
Wow.
And then I write the lyrics of the verse after. So I write in a very Irish way. It's very backward, but it works. And I wrote the song in 89 and I played it to the record companies, and it wasn't easy. It was a struggle. That's why it ended up as a B-side, because
that's
didn't
what
think
I was
right.
gonna say. Yeah,
yeah, they were like, it's too it's very street, it's not right for pop and all that. So I said, yeah, but listen, it's a tune. I couldn't believe when I came out the studio with the, you know, back in those days it was tapes,
yeah,
and I played the tape to my family and stuff, and I was like, they were like, oh my god, Mish, that's a killer. And I was like, I'm telling you, it's the lick. I said, people are gonna go mad for this tune when they're in the party and that comes on, they're just gonna lose it. But the record company didn't buy it, so it was, I had to put it on the B-side of South of the River, which was actually the second album. That's how long it took me to get it on the record, you know?
All I know is that when I saw that, I said, my girl's got it right. Right, you know, she's got a pop on the A side and she's given us something on the B side.
I always do that, man. I try to love everybody.
That's beautiful. Let's hear it. And in fact, we've actually got an answer even before the tunes started and finished. And this one's come from Joy in Bromley with a kiss. She says Lisa Butcher was your co-presenter.
Work it.
So maybe the next one should be, all right, I'm making it so easy. So how many albums we've got? How many albums we've got to give away now? So let's put this one over here. That one's going to Joy.
All right,
we've got another two now. Why did this particular track end up on the B-side?
You're dangerous. No. I can go one step better.
Go on.
Who did the remix on this tune for me?
I don't even know that.
Well, there's someone who else, you know, there's another person on this track too that is playing the remix and the bass line for me.
Well, you know what?
Unless and you know who he is. You know who he is. He's also an artist in his own right.
I bet you I do know who it is.
Yes, you do. Come on.
All right. If it answer any one of those, the reason why I want to make it so easy is because we're not giving them no time. It's by the time this track is finished.
Oh, yeah, but who's the person who's associated with me on this song?
Yeah.
There's always that guy.
I think I know.
You know who he is.
I think I know. Let's have a look. All right. Someone's just sent me our own number. All right.
That's not
So if you're trying to text, that's all you need to do is 80818. Start your text with colourful space and then your answer of whatever it'll be. Right, we're going to hang this, let this play underneath because we have got quite a few emails here for you. So we're going to have to kind of shortish answers.
Yeah, we'll just talk over it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Plus, I want to play another track from the new album. Gemma says, please ask Misha what the best and worst thing is about being famous and has she got any regrets?
What's the best and the worst? I mean, the best thing about... It's not about being famous, because that's not fun. Fame is a nightmare for the fact that everybody knows your business. And even when the stuff is good... it's nice when the stuff is good and it's said, you know, people say good things about you, but then the bad stuff comes out too. So fame ain't cool in that way. Your laundry is out in public. That part is not cool about fame. The perks of fame are that you get maybe a couple of free dresses and some makeup free and stuff like that. But the thing that's fantastic is it should be the content. It shouldn't be fame that makes you excited because it isn't any... Trust me, I've been in the business 22 years. I'm kind of over it, you know.
Yeah.
Like when I was 18, I was like, yeah, man, I'm famous. It was like fun. But to be honest with you, it was always about the music for me.
Yeah, and that comes through,
you know,
a lot.
The music was a thing that, and I say to everyone, don't worry about the fame. Just think about the content. What are you giving people? Are you giving them something that when they hear it, they just go, oh, because that's what it's about.
Yeah.
That should be the driving force. And to answer your question, fame ain't what it cracked up to be.
It ain't all that. Joanne said, thank you very much for your email there, Gemma. Joanne says, love the baby come back now. Big up, Misha. Very catchy tune. Please ask Misha how she made the transition to TV presenting and where did she learn this skill because I just love watching you.
Oh, how sweet. Bless her. I didn't learn anything. As I told you, my mate put me up for the job and I nearly slapped her when she told me she put me up for it because she never warned me. She just put the producer on the phone and there I was at a casting, you know. I'd never had any experience on television before. As you know, I'm a singer. So I did the radio thing. But what was it? I was just myself. What you see on TV with me is exactly what
I'll
I mean.
Testify.
Elaine, you know what I'm like.
I am exactly the same person. Testify.
I'm loud. And I'm like, you're not going out there looking like that. Listen, I'm exactly the same person. And I would say, if you're kind of like an extrovert, which I am, and quite caring and loving and stuff, and you're quite an honest person, because that's what I am. I really love people.
Yeah.
I love people and I want the best for them. It comes across. But if I was fake, you'd be on me and like, you know what you'd be.
Absolutely.
Like, Mish, what are you trying it for?
Don't even try it. Don't even go there. Listen, I'm afraid that Lady J, you're a little bit too late. Lady J in Peckham, she says Lisa Butcher, but we've already got a winner for that one, so we need to set
another.
Can't
we give her one too?
We can.
I feel bad for her.
You do? Really do, don't you? Why don't you just set another question?
No, but, you know, She never knew it was late.
Well, this is why we're trying to get something going here, you know?
Right,
I mean, you've got to be quick.
All right.
So, Lady J, if you're still sitting there, we've got another question for you, because we've still got two to give away. Or is it one? I've lost count now.
I know, but I see two in front of me, sweetie.
Yeah.
What other question can I give? My goodness. That's scary. I don't know. Okay, how many children do I have?
Okay.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. How many children does Misha Paris have? What should I do first? God, I've got 3 minutes. All right. So one very short answers for these emails.
All right. All right. I'm trying. You know how hard it is. I talk for Britain.
It's good, though. It's good. This one's from our very own Rosemary. She does the morning show here. She says, hey, Misha.
Hey, girl.
Good to hear you on Elaine's show. I was listening to Where Is the Love, your duet with Will Downing over the weekend. That is a tune. Do you have a good memory working with Will? You kind of answered that, though, didn't you?
Yeah, I love him. That's my boy. We're still really good mates now, still.
That's beautiful. Matt says, Misha's sounding great. Please ask Misha if it is true that Whitney wanted one of Misha's album tracks for her own and comeback.
Absolutely. Born Again, the name of the album, that song, Born Again, Michael Foster, who is her producer, really, you know, she was like gagging for the song. And Brian Rawlings, my producer, flatly said no.
Wow.
And I love Whitney, we're friends. Yeah, so yeah, it's not even like I love her to bits. I'd love to give it to her, but I didn't like her that much. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding. No. The song was just too good for me but I love Whitney. Over. She's a sweet, sweet girl. I got to tell you, she's good people.
Misha, thank you so much.
I can't
for
tell you
in.
How nice it's to see you
and
again,
to
looking
see
gorgeous.
Too. You too,
and you look the same. You haven't aged.
You
look
too.
Exactly the same.
You too.
Oh, bless you, babes.
I know.
Yeah, there's a lot of love in here.
This is Colourful Radio.